We're going to get your calls in just a moment here. We're going to update you on something, but it's 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. All right, so Kevin, the Michigan Supreme Court, they ruled this morning that they're going to return this case regarding the appeals that the appeal that the parents of Ethan Crumbly made to try to prevent some of the evidence from being put into this case. That has been sent back to the Court of Appeals, and the Supreme Court says essentially, listen, you guys got to take another look at this before you close this part of this case.
Yeah, and some court observers say this is a big deal because in theory, the Court of Appeals could dismiss the entire case if they feel there's not enough evidence that the parents' conduct caused the deaths of the Oxford students. So we wanted to get to an expert right away to clarify all of this for us. So we brought in Todd Flood from Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Doing great. Do you mind walking us through this so we can understand it clearly, what's happened here?
Yes. Absolutely. So the preliminary exam took place in district court. Two things have to be shown at a preliminary exam: probable cause that a crime was committed and probable cause the defendant committed the crime. Charged with manslaughter, they have to show the elements, each element, by that probable cause standard. And one of the big elements, issues in that case, is causation. So first you get the but-for test. That's really easy to get by that. But for X, would the shooter have been able to kill everybody? Providing the gun, making sure the kid had access to the gun. Then you got to show the second prong of causation. That is, was it a proximate cause? And the big question there, was it a proximate cause? Then providing the gun. Normally in the world of universe we live in, you cannot charge, I can't charge either you, Tom, or Kevin for the criminal acts of a third party. I can't charge you for the acts of your son or your daughter, unless there is something where we show that you enabled, you aided, or you provided the means to commit that crime. So it goes up to the circuit court. The district court bound over the case to say, yep, the prosecutor met their standard. They met the probable cause standard to show that the elements of the crime were there by that standard. The circuit court judge heard what is called a motion to quash. That is, the defense attorneys brought up and said, hey, listen, guys, the district court over here abused her discretion. She should not have bound that case over because legally, there wasn't enough evidence on the record on this of the four corners of the transcript, there wasn't enough evidence on that record to show causation. Circuit court judge denied defendant's motion. Defendants, they're going at it. They say, let's go to the Court of Appeals. They seek leave. Court of Appeals denies hearing the case. Then they appeal all the way up to the Supreme Court. Lo and behold, what did the Supreme Court do under a precedence in this case? We have People v. Yost. They said, you know what, Court of Appeals, we want you to look at this case, and we're remanding it back to the Court of Appeals to look at one issue, one specific issue. You all look at whether or not the elements necessary for causation were there. Now, I believe, I haven't read the transcript of the district court circumstances. I will look at that, and I will check out to see whether or not they met the elements necessary. But there are cases, there's a precedent in our state with the mother that was convicted of involuntary manslaughter for not hiding matches properly, knowing that her child was setting everything on fire. She was warned by CPS. She was warned by neighbors. The kid was lighting fires all over the place. Mom takes a nap on the couch. Child then gets up on top of the refrigerator, grabs the matches, and lights a curtain on fire in the apartment. The apartment goes up and kills a child in the apartment below. Mom charged and convicted and lost on appeal of involuntary manslaughter. So here, what do we have? We have the shooter. He was given a gun by the parents. The parents know that the kid is disturbed. The parents probably, I gotta believe, the evidence of the knowledge that this shooter was mentally unstable was entered into evidence, and that the parents had notice and knowledge of that, and giving him a gun, I would believe, is enough. But I need to see the record. I need to see the transcript to see whether or not the prosecution in this case made sure that they established those elements necessary for involuntary manslaughter.
So bottom line, there's a chance they could dismiss the case entirely against the Crumbly parents.
There you go. There's a chance. If they didn't put it in, Kevin, this case could go away against the parents.
Wow. All right. We appreciate the clarification and the update on that. Todd Flood joining us from Flood Law. Todd, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Be well.
All right. You too. Be safe out there. 800-859-0956.